Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Kick My Brother Podcast.
Kick My Brother Podcast
with Chris and Kyle.
Hey!
For the next hour, some entertaining conversation, some music talk, and whatever else they get into.
Hey!
Here are your hosts, Chris and Kyle.
Welcome back, everybody.
It's been a whole nother week.
That's right. Has it just been 1 week? Sometimes it feels like it's been like 2 weeks. Like, I think the last time we talked, it seemed like it was like a long time between shows.
Mm.
And now it doesn't seem like it's that long.
No. Well, sometimes it feels like they're always watching you.
Huh. You know, it's got that really. That's bad. That's poor. It always
what that is? Like, the reference?
I thought so. Yeah.
Somebody is watching you.
Yeah. You know, we have a hard time, Chris, doing a weekly show.
That's a very hard time.
Yeah. Could you imagine doing a show every night or every day?
Yeah, I can imagine that.
You can imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I guess I could imagine. I'm not sure. That would be difficult, though, I would think.
Because that was a question, right? Could you imagine? Yeah, I can imagine. You can imagine anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
could you imagine if you could fly? Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could have X-ray vision? Yeah, I can imagine.
This is true. Yeah, this is true.
The imagination is limitless,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having a show every day? I can imagine that. If you can imagine you can fly, I think you can imagine having a show every day.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, it would be difficult, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No. Not if that was your thing. That's your avenue. Right?
Yeah, I guess you get used to it.
Yeah, right? About your life.
Yeah.
And I think I know what you're getting to about this show every day business.
What am I? What? Or every night.
Or every night.
Where am I going? Where am I going?
Where are we going?
Watch
I'm leading the way.
Tell listeners.
Folks, tonight, this show is very close and personal to me. Tonight, we are going to be celebrating the life and times on the 10th anniversary as of Friday, because the calendar gets all fucked up every year.
Mm-hmm.
As of Friday, December, January 23rd, 05, the passing of our man, the king of late night, who also, in my opinion, was a gold standard for comedy on a nightly basis, Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad that you said that, because that's the truth. I mean, who did he take over the Tonight Show from? I mean, he wasn't
Jack
the original Tonight. That's right. But I think Johnny Carson was the one that, he's the one I remember. I mean, I know there's people out there remember Jack Parr, but I think when you think
No, I don't think a lot of people do, man. I don't think a lot of people remember Jack Parr at all. People remember Jack Parr.
I can imagine Jack Parr. I can imagine knowing Jack Parr.
Knowing him.
Imagine, I can imagine it.
Oh, you can imagine? Oh, yeah, of course you can imagine. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine knowing Jack Parr.
Yeah. Man, yeah, but right. I think when people think of the Tonight Show, people think of
Johnny Carson. What's his program? I think it was it tonight. I don't remember because I was like, wasn't it a zygote in 64 when Jack Parr had the fucking show? But I don't know when it changed. That part I'm kind of fuzzy about when it became the Tonight Show. Maybe it was always the Tonight Show. But he did pick it up from Jack Parr. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
He did pick it up from that. Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to do a little
little research.
Yeah, so Parr served as the host of the Tonight Show for 5 years, from 57 to 62.
Exactly, 57 to 62. That wasn't even a thought with anybody's.
And then like when Carson took over from 62 to what, 90-something? Like, how long was he on?
Oh, Carson?
Yeah.
Carson left in 92.
So 30 years.
He didn't leave, he retired. Yeah, 30 years.
Yep.
30 years. Now, I mean, 30 years of a TV show, it's unheard of today, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are some shows that don't even last 30 days.
This is true.
Right? I mean, this show was on for 30 years.
Well, and
30 years it was on.
It was on 30 years. I guess it's still on, and even though...
Even though
Jay Leno did his best to kill it.
What's that?
Even though Jay Leno did his best to kill it.
Yeah, and we all know that Carson wasn't really... Carson's boy was Letterman, right?
Yeah.
Carson's boy was Letterman. And
Carson's
so actually before... I have to have him back up because before... While Jack Parr had the whatever, it may have been Tonight Show, whatever. I don't think it was Tonight Show, whatever it was called at the time. Maybe it was that call, I don't know. But he had a show that was called Who Do You Trust? I mean, you got to love a man that has a show called Who Do You Trust on television, right? And then, going to add another reference to one of our favorites, Bill Hicks, right?
Yeah.
Bill Hicks said, Leno is exactly what America wants. Lame, safe, and fake.
Hmm. Yep.
That's what Bill Hicks said.
I think Bill Hicks is a feature podcast.
He's got to be a feature podcast. But Letterman was his boy. That was Carson's boy. And
yeah.
So we could have been happy at all with Leno taking it over. So,
yeah.
But I do have to say that one thing I have to say is people are very lucky in our lifetime to have seen Letterman. Or I mean, to have seen Leno. Jesus Christ. To have seen Carson,
mm-hmm.
You have to consider in our lifetime where when he was on every night, I think they have to consider yourself lucky because you'll never see the likes of someone like him again. You'll never see another Carson. As much as you have Letterman on today,
yeah.
Is Letterman still on? Is Letterman still on?
Yeah, this is his. He's coming towards the end. Like I think it's like this year, sometime like September or October. I think is his last show.
Oh, is this his last year for Letterman?
Yeah, because then Colbert takes over for him.
Oh, right. Colbert, I kind of like that dude. I do like that guy.
Yeah. I actually got to give it up to Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon's on the show. He's the new host, or will be the new host. Is he already on the Tonight Show? Is he the Tonight Show already? Jimmy Fallon?
I don't care. I don't like Jimmy Fallon.
I like Jimmy Fallon.
I don't like Jimmy Fallon. I don't like him. Wasn't he a Saturday Night hack? He came out of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he came out of Saturday Night Live.
That's the same thing I was saying. It's about what America like, what Bill Hicks said. He's lame, lame, safe, lame, safe, and fake. I mean, I don't know. I've never met Fallon. I'm just not a fan of this. I don't watch television anyway, as it is. But I mentioned that. I mean, we talked about this before. I don't watch television. But I'm certainly not going to watch Jimmy Fallon. I don't know. It's kind of like SNL mini skits that are on his show, and I don't know. It's horseshit to me.
They always are. They all did those skits. I mean, Carson did that. I mean, he did that with Carmack, the Magnificent.
Well, Carson started in 1949 in radio. In 1949,
yeah.
He started in radio. And when he was a little kid, one of his – and that was his big turning point when he was – everyone has a turning point when you're growing up, right? You have
mm-hmm.
something, and you probably mentioned something where we think we talked about last week where you really you're a sports guy. You love sports, right? There must have been
Whoa, yes, I know. I like to gamble.
Oh, let me back up. Oh, yeah. There must have been a turning point, and I think your turning point was when you first noticed Jimmy the Greek was fucking putting lines down on CBS Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
And you're like, what does 4.5 points mean between New England and Cleveland?
Why is that so interesting? I need to find that out. Why are so many people interested in this game?
What the fuck does 3.5 points mean, my friends? It's not a field goal.
It's
home field advantage is what it is.
The team just lost. Why are you celebrating?
That's right. Well, the Turning Point, and I forget the name of it. I wish I could remember it because it's not really my thing. But there was a book that Carson received when he was a little kid, maybe like 10, 11, 12, around that time.
The Giving Tree.
And the book, what's that? Is that what, are you serious?
I don't know. How's it taken again?
Asshole, something new in the book. It's called How to Control Your Life and Be Happy Doing It. No, I'm but it was some type of, I forgot the name of it, and I'm sure you can find it out there somewhere on the internet, in the like you say, the intertubes.
Yeah, just so you know.
But it was a magician's book, though.
Yeah, well, before you go there, because I just want to put this out there to our listeners. So when we do our research, where we usually go get all our information is Google. So there's a website
mostly,
out there.
Mostly, yes. Yeah.
Do www.google, spelled google.com, and you'll be able to find a lot of information as well.
Well, no,
we'll
or
help.
You can just go or ask your parents for a Google machine, kids.
That's right.
Or most of our audience is grown up, so
yeah,
they know
what
the fucking Google machine is.
Yeah.
That's right. No, but he received a book when he was younger, and I don't know the name of it. It wasn't one of the stupid names that we're mentioning, but it was a magician's book for magic tricks. And so Carson learned sleight of hand tricks, like our nephew Hayden, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows a little bit of magic, and he can also break boards with his fist and arm and leg. Or just watch out for that dude. But Carson learns magic tricks when he was younger, and like anything, when you learn, whether it's knowledge of any sort, whether it's knowledge or karate, whatever the fuck it is, you have yourself. Now you have a certain level of empowerment, right? You know that you know something that no one else does. You know, you can do something that no one else does. So that's a level of empowerment. And so Carson had that, and he learned that when he was younger, in his teenage years. And so what are you going to do with that shit in 1949 when you're on radio?
Yeah, magic doesn't work very well on radio.
You can't do very much with it. And I know sign language, but I'm talking to you on the phone. I can't talk to you on sign language.
It doesn't transfer
very well at all.
No.
So, yeah, he learned that in when he was younger. And it started radio in 49 and went into television after that. And had that silly show, Who Do You Trust, which is perfect. That's a great name for a show. Wish I was on today.
So you sent me a clip earlier, Chris. I think
no,
like
I didn't.
Yeah, the American Masters thing. Do you want to tell everybody about it and we'll play a little bit
of
it?
Oh, I'd love to, man. Yeah. Oh, I know what clip you're talking about. Yeah, I wanted you to see this for years now, but you don't listen to me. It's Johnny Carson, there was a PBS special several years ago. I don't know what year it came out. And it's narrated, actually, by Kevin Spacey. But he does a very nice job narrating it. And it was originally on PBS, and it was a two-hour special. And what's great about PBS is there's no commercials, right?
Well, wait, to be fair.
Oh, there's a telethon.
Every half hour, there was 45 minutes.
That's true, there is.
The show was actually 15 minutes long, but there was 2 hours of, please give us your money.
It's our October donation time. Yeah, folks,
yeah.
I hope you enjoy what you're seeing.
Yeah.
If you liked what you're seeing, you can get, if you donate $150, you will get a tote bag.
You'll get a tote bag.
And $250. Look at this, John. You'll get the umbrella. Look at this umbrella. You can fit one person under the umbrella.
You in the back answering the phone. Like, oh, hi, Mom. Can you see me on television?
Anyway, it's called American Masters, which is a great series. I've seen several of them. And when the Carson one came out several years ago, I jumped right on it right away. And now it's on one of our favorite places to go, right? Netflix. It's on Netflix. Hopefully it's still on. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's where I went to see repeated views. And that's where you don't have to donate for a tote bag. You don't have to donate for an umbrella. It's right there.
All right.
Watch the fucking show, commercial-free, yo.
Well, let me play a clip of it here.
Yeah, let's play the there's a great trailer for it. You got that?
Yep, I got it. Here, I'll play it.
Right on.
Let's play. Let's see. Here we go.
He said when he went through the curtain, it was a performance. I would be backstage with him, and he'd be nervous as a cat for every show. He'd be pacing back and forth, smoking an unfiltered Pall Mall, checking himself, doing all his normal fidgets with the knot and the tie. But he'd come through the curtain, and he was suddenly Johnny Carson before 20 million people in bedrooms and 500 people in the audience.
3, 2, 1, music, tape.
Hey.
curtains don't just part, they kind of fly open, and out comes Johnny. You know,
the sock severs.
That attitude, with a glint in his eye, bigger than life itself.
And it was the coronation of the king over and over and over again. It was like a show business cathedral, and Johnny was the king. And he entered, and he got his royal greeting every time.
Look, you don't have to stop. This is America. You have the right to worship.
I guess Johnny was to comedy what Walter Cronkite was to news. Probably as trusted by America as Walter Cronkite was.
My dad would always say the same thing. Let's just watch the monologue. We'll watch a little bit of the monologue. I'm laughing and my father's laughing. And how often can you watch something with your father, you know? He crossed generations, I think.
What was it today? The other day before yesterday, it was 105. It's cooled off. It was 103 today. And it was hot today. Very nice. So hot today, I saw a sparrow pick up his worm with a potholder.
Who's that dude? There's Doc Severance, who was one of the commenters on that clip. And then who's the late night guy? Conan O'Brien was the one who's commenting, I think, about his watching it with his dad.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's Conan actually. Jay Leno screwed over not only just David Letterman but Conan O'Brien as well.
Fuck Jay Leno. Can't say that, dude.
Yeah. But so. Yeah, you know, one thing I remember about the Tonight Show, you know, when I was a kid is, maybe it's like, you know, so we grew up in, you know, upstate New York, but there was like this glorious, like, Los Angeles thing going on, right? Like, to me, that was in the 80s, it was like the heyday of Los Angeles in a lot of ways. You know, you had like the Lakers going on, and it was this whole Hollywood thing, and it's in my mind. I guess it's always been there, but. For me,
well, it was a golden age of LA for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, aside from obviously the early movie years.
Yeah. So it was a big deal. I think he was the first.
Well,
he was the first one out there, wasn't he?
In a lot of ways, that's a good point, man. Because Carson started in New York, and I think that's where Joe. What the fuck? Where's my mind tonight? That's where Letterman is still. A lot of the shows are in New York. And he was there, he moved to L.A., I think, in 72. He moved to California. And what happened with, there's a little bit of history. There's a lot of dark history behind Carson, too. And like we've talked about in our comedian show, and like people who know comedians know this as well, there's always a dark underbelly somewhere. There's always something brewing right underneath. There's something happening.
Mm-hmm.
You put on this facade, right? You put on the clown face. You take off the clown face, and then there's your dark life. And I don't want to get too down, but... Yeah, so with Carson, his troubles, he had trouble starting in like in 69, where he just kind of first picked up the show after Parr, I think, 68. What was the years you had for Parr? Do you still have that up? Or?
Oh, I can find out here. It was okay.
But he had some trouble.
5 years, 57 to 62.
Okay, 62. So 69, so several years went by and Carson was picked up for the show. But he had some troubles, and the trouble included ratings with the show. Troubles included his drinking, which is always a fucking problem. It's a lot of fun, but it's a problem at the same time. But he also had issues with his management as well in 69. And so when he moved to California and L.A. in 72, and he met a nice little lady. I shouldn't say nice because I'll tell you a story about that too. He met a woman, I think it was Joanne Carson, his first wife. Carson was married four times. But he met his wife in 72, or maybe, I'm sorry, didn't meet her, but he met a woman around that time. So his drinking slowed down a little bit. And so he was able to kind of control his life also. And within that time between 69 and 70, he also met a very perennial figure in his life, his attorney, Attorney Bushkin.
Mm. Yes. Now, I know a little bit about I don't know much about that attorney.
You're like, I know a little bit about that.
Well, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, he signed it, I call it the Oprah agreement, where you can't say anything bad about anybody, you can't say anything about Oprah. He had this Johnny Carson album, he had that set up with, I guess that's pretty smart if you're a major, you know, public figure.
Performer, entertainer.
Yeah. But then, like you just said, he passed away, and then, I guess that agreement died with him.
Dude, you're absolutely right. That's where client privilege. That's where client privilege ends with the death.
Yeah. And so then the attorney wrote the book. Good for him, I suppose, but I'm not sure if Johnny really said about it. Or maybe Johnny
Carson, I think the one.
Wait till I'm dead, and then you can write the book.
That's precisely it. Yeah, because you don't. There's a lot of skeletons that have to fucking surface at that point, right? And not even skeletons. These skeletons, which is bad stuff. It's not really that, but people know now, and that's what was so enthralling about the Bushkin book. And I read that. And I don't know if you did, but it's not a bad. No. It's a great. It's a tremendous read. It's about 200. Sure. It's a pretty easy read.
Yeah, yes. And as you hold that thought for a second, I'm going to bring a caller on. All right, one moment, please. Yep. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hello there. You're calling from Phoenix, Arizona today.
Yes, I am.
Tonight, yeah. Well, it's the Tonight Show, actually.
So, Johnny.
Yeah.
The curtains fly open.
Yeah, so we obviously just heard us talking about Johnny Carson and a book that his attorney wrote. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. I think folks who are good friends with folks would take secrets to the grave rather than selling out friends. And I think that the attorney pretended to be his friend because that was his golden goose, right? So
well, he was his, if I could interrupt for a minute, he was an attorney from 1970 to 1988, a good 18 years. That's pretty solid friendship.
Well, I agree, but, you know, then for all those 18 years, then to sell out by writing a book, you know, I just think that's wrong. I think he's just cashing in on, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to make some money on this deal. Not that he didn't make millions and millions before that.
Right.
So, I don't
know. Yeah, when Carson died,
I was going to say, I think any attorney is sickened when they see that kind of confidentiality exploited in a book for cash.
Kind of strange.
Mm-hmm. I would be, if I was an attorney, it would make me sick to see someone take advantage of that kind of relationship.
Well, as everybody knows, and caller, were you a, what's your name, caller, so we can call you something?
Eric.
What? All right, Eric. Were you a Tonight Show watcher over the years? Did you watch the show?
I love the Tonight Show.
Wasn't it great? I mean, there's no other. I think I said earlier, the folks who didn't get to see it, you'll never see the likes of that show again. There's nothing like they'll ever be like that show again. And now,
what he had was, and you see it with a lot of folks from the Midwest, but what he brought that Midwest. Ability to just have dialogue.
Well, he was born in.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say he was born in Nebraska, so he had that Midwestern trait already.
Yeah, and so you know, he's not cutting, he's not sarcastic as like some of these folks that are on today. I mean, I can't stand Letterman because he just tries to find whatever he can to get under somebody's skin.
Well, Letterman had a great quote about Letterman and Carson. They weren't close because Carson wasn't really close to anyone. But Letterman did have a nice quote about Carson. He said, any one of us, he's talking about late night hosts, any one of us who came after him, meeting Carson, was a pretender. And I think that's very accurate to say that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think Jay Leno
definitely
is different, where all he does is he just kisses butt to everybody who's on the show.
That Hill Kick said earlier, lame, safe, and fake, right? About Leno.
Yeah, we're talking about quotes. This is actually a Johnny Carson quote that I always liked. So I know a man who gave up smoking, drinking, sex, and rich food. He was held to rip to the day he killed himself.
Right.
I have a great story about Carson. We're fast-forwarding like many, many years about Carson. There's a great story about he was out with Bushkin and Henry Bushkin, the attorney who wrote the – I don't know if this is in the book. I don't think it is. And, Eric, did you read the book?
I did.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think the story is in the book. I kind of I just know it. He was with there was a mom and daughter, and they were meeting a Bushkin and they were meeting Bushkin and his. Let me start over. Bushkin and Carson were meeting a mom and daughter out, kind of on a date or out to dinner or whatever. And his the daughter's there, just stunning, a stunning daughter, right? A good looking girl. And so he sees the mom. He turns to the mom, and he says to her, "I'm sorry you lost your last fight." Is that not a mean insult? That's a pretty mean insult. I mean, that's a great joke.
That's kind of like biting,
biting a slam, man. That's a nice slam. What's that called?
Yeah, I think
that's like the I was gonna say that's like the joke. The you know, that's I can see why the lions eat their young.
Oh, the Dangerfield joke from
Yeah, exactly. Very
now wonderful. We know where the lions eat their young.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Do we have any clips to share? Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, I think one of the things that surprised me, and I guess it probably wouldn't have for those who probably worked around Johnny Carson, was just how insecure he was.
What Ed McMahon said, and Eric, it's funny you say that, Ed McMahon actually said, Johnny Carson was great in front of 10,000 people, but he wasn't so good in front of 10 people.
Right.
Which I think kind of sums that up, right? I mean...
I guess I think we all have some insecurities, but you know, in the book he gets into details of relationships and the insecurities even between friendships, and you know, I think that was, you know, kind of surprising. But I guess when you're surrounded by people who all day just kiss your butt and tell you how great you are, you're not really sure how great you really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of comedians struggle that way. I mean, who is it? Chris Farley. You know, he's felt, that's one of the things I always heard about him. You know, obviously he passed away way too young, but his thing was he always felt like he had to be funny all the time. He had to be on. He couldn't just be Chris Farley, normal guy. He had to be Chris Farley, comedian. So a lot of ways, I imagine Johnny Carson kind of felt that way too. You know, he had to be Johnny Carson. He had to be on all the time.
Well,
does that make sense?
It becomes the expectation, because that's who people know you as. And if they don't know you as that person, then you feel, I think, as that whatever, you know, person that you are, you feel that you're going to disappoint those folks, or they're not going to like you because you're trying to be yourself. They like you as that person, so you have that expectation that they know me as the funny guy, so let me be on, right?
Right, but I think
that's a lot of pressure. That's the pressure that a lot of comedians feel.
Yeah, but I think that insecurity is what drove him with the issues with women, right? Because he had that insecurity, he felt like he had to be in control of whoever he was in a relationship with, right? Which is normal psychology, right? If I can't control my own life, I should be able to control somebody else's. And mm-hmm. So I think parts of those things in the book where he, you know, had temper and would lose it on these ladies and so forth, or, you know, do whatever, was driven partly out of that and partly out of being a bit of an egomaniac.
Well, there is. I mean, there's true. You get that point. I mean, when he came out every night, there's not many shows. Like I said, I don't watch television, so correct me if I'm wrong. But are there many shows where the host walks out and people stand up, give you a standing ovation every night? That's a lot of regality. And then another quote of Carson's, and like I said earlier in the podcast, he was married 4 times, and he didn't really. I don't think he, and I think it's in the book too, that, and I think it's maybe also in the show, or in the movie, American Masters, but he didn't have prenups, and that's kind of a regal thing to do, but one of his great quotes is, he said to Bushkin was, "The next time I want to get married, find me someone I don't like, and I'll give her a house and be done with it."
Right.
I mean, because Joanne, or one of his wives, got $35 million. I think the third or fourth wife got $35 million. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket because he died, $500 million. But
another.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say another thing Johnny Carson said about marriage. He said, "Married men live longer than single men, but married men are a lot more willing to die."
Carson said that.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
But I think some of that stuff was all driven from the really horrible relationship he had with his mom too.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh,
know?
Absolutely.
So maybe
his mom was. No, his mom was actually could probably be best described as like a Midwestern gothic woman. You know, aloof, considerate, and charming. And he can, and I think I mentioned this in one of our earlier podcasts, Kyle. He can never get love from his mom. There's a great story in the book, Eric, now that you read it, or not now that you read it, but I know that you said you read it. Excuse me. But he sent his parents on a 47-day trip around the world with a gold card. So all expenses paid, right, around the world, 47 days. Who wouldn't like that, right, give to your parents? His parents never contacted him throughout the whole time of the trip. So when they returned, Johnny called, and Johnny asked how the trip was. He was told by his mom, she was so happy to be home. I mean, how prototypical of it. That's very prototypical of his mother, because she was in the green room one time at one of his shows. One of the shows. And in the green room, and he came back, and he asked how she liked the show, and she said, I didn't think you were that funny. That wasn't that funny. For your own fucking mother, you know?
So does your mother do that to you? Does your mother do that to you, Chris?
What's that?
Not
I'm not on
you,
television,
you,
Eric.
Funny? Does she tell you that you guys
have a
face
on the
radio?
My mom is also a Midwestern Gothic woman. Western Gothic.
Well, you know, Johnny Carson, man, we can go on to the mother rant, but Johnny Carson.
Mother rant.
what I liked about him, like, and I, one thing I always remember, and it's actually where I saw like a lot of stand-up comedians for the first time. And like,
absolutely, a lot of huge break for comedians.
Yeah.
On the show.
I remember, favorite comedian a lot of our family was like Stephen Wright. I remember seeing him on Johnny Carson for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a clip of Robin Williams, rest in peace.
His first appearance on
the Johnny Carson show. Yeah, here we go.
Roll it.
This is Robin Williams' first appearance on the Tonight Show. He doesn't do.
We already spoke that, Johnny.
I saw him about 3 years ago. I think he was on with Dick Cavett one night. As you know, he's the star of the very successful Mork and Mindy show, which is beginning its fourth season on the air. I begin this Thursday, and he's going to be seeing a new film late next spring called The World According to Garp. Did you ever read that book?
I read that book.
Interesting, yes. Funny book. Would you welcome Robin Williams? People always think performers don't get nervous.
Not at all, really. No. Not really. No way.
Is there some reason you don't do? Is it the fact that you get nervous?
I suffer from severe dyslexia, too. I was the only child in my block on Halloween to go trick or trout. Look, here comes that young Williams boy again. Better get some fish. Here you go. Say hi to your mom and dad. Hope they find you.
Where is home for you? Or did you come from a home?
They said all the people in the institution, Tommy. If you haven't taken your medication yet, it's going to be fine.
They're back at 12.
Yeah. No. How are you, Mr. Williams? I'm real fine. Now.
Look at this thing. Look, Flipper.
Right now, there's a sound man going, what are you doing? Oh, God. I better relax.
Yeah,
it's okay. I'm on TV.
All right, just...
You're a nice man. You won't hurt me.
No.
All right, let me just one
second. Certainly.
Okay, thank you. Don't be afraid. The sores went away.
Your simplex two, is it?
Yeah.
One. One or
a real man can stand up to herpes.
So it's nice to know that Johnny Carson lost complete control of his show many times, too.
That's not hard to do against Robin Williams.
No. Well, I think I think the best part about what you heard there and what he did with most guests is that he set the tee up for them to hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just allowed them to take it, and he gave them sort of the launch pad every time to do it.
Right.
Yeah, he made the guests feel like they were the star of the show, which essentially they were in a lot of ways. Yep.
And that's important because you have to understand comedy in order to be able to do that too. To know where to get that where the joke's coming from and to know the source of it and to also know where the comedian might be going as well. And with a person with an ace like Robin Williams, especially in his first appearance, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, I talked, as I mentioned, about where Johnny Carson understood comedians. It's mentioned in Bushkin's book, and I can't remember if it's mentioned in the American Masters movie, but Carson did Vegas road gigs until 1980. So after every Friday show ended, Carson would fly from Burbank to Vegas, about 40 minutes, and he would do two shows, Friday and Saturday, for $250,000 a show, you know, $125 a six-figure show, and that's more than a Sinatra was making. And the reason was because overhead was so low. He had a simple show, you know, cheap production, and it was always sold out. And in those days, Carson, you know, until 1980, he was the highest paid performer in Vegas. So think about these figures for a second. He was the highest paid performer in Vegas. He did 10 weekends a year, so 20 days, and he raked in $2.5 million. Off of that. And he did a 90-minute show.
$2 million.
$2.5 million. But he was never a stand up comedian. He drew a lot of the acts from his monologue, being able to do that. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, he was a magician to start out with. And so he was able to get all the humor and so forth.
Well, not only that, but he also did, you know, physical comedy, but he also did skits. And you just don't see that with today's talk show hosts. They just don't do that because they don't have the skill set.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we were talking about Tyson. He used to do like the, I remember Carnac, right? And
Carnac the Magician.
He would do like, he would reveal a message, right? And then it was clever, right? Then he would have to reveal the answer to the question, right? So the example that he had a whole sign in front of everybody. To the cleaners, and Carnac would then reveal the answer to the question, and then it would be, "Where are Johnny Carson's wives taking him?"
Right. That's a good example.
Right, or he'd say, "Menopause, which your mom thinks is a button on a tape deck."
Come on, I missed that.
Menopause, which your mom thinks is a button on a tape deck.
Very nice, Carmack. Very nice.
Yeah. Well, and then on the Johnny Carson show, everybody knows his great sidekick, Ed McMahon.
Oh, the plump Ed McMahon, if I can mention for a second. Yeah, he was a second banana.
He was always
nodding and laughing all the time.
He always getting the butt of Johnny Carson's jokes. And but in the 70s and the 80s were a different time, too. I mean, people would cocktail all the time. It was pretty common. And,
yeah, but there was no cell phones and no paparazzi then either. You know, there was no one to take pictures and anything like that.
It was also a different time. It was okay. But I'm going to play one more clip here.
Before you play that clip, Kyle, can I mention a story about McMahon? As Eric knows, he read the book with Bushkin. Before Carson met Bushkin, he was one of his drinking buddies, and maybe a little bit after, was Ed McMahon. They would go out drinking a lot. And this might lead up to your clip, I think, a little bit. But one particular night, Carson was out with Ed McMahon, and they were out at a place called Jilly's in New York. While they were in New York, I think it was New York. Maybe L.A. I don't know. But, no, it had to be New York. And so Carson and McMahon are out drinking at Jilly's one night, carousing, and Carson winds up carousing with the wife of a notorious New York crime family, unbeknownst to him, right? Like, as Warren Zevon says, when I went home with the waitress, how was I to know she was with the Russians too, right? So the mafia didn't take too fair to that, and Johnny was tossed down a flight of stairs by some heavies.
I didn't know that.
It was tossed down, yeah. And so there was a hit on him for a little while. On Carson for being with the wife of a mafia girl. Yeah. No one knows what happened. But anyway, he was out carousing with her nonetheless. So anyway, dude, he didn't leave. He lived in the UN Plaza at the time. He didn't leave his house or he didn't leave his apartment for 3 days. As a result of that, there was no Tonight Show for 3 days during that time either.
Hmm.
So lesson of the story,
do not carouse with a mafia wife. Don't ever do that. I never do that. But, yeah, that was his little drinking buddy for a little while. Now, I'm sorry. Did I say little? I meant plump.
Yeah, he's a big guy, Ed McMahon.
I meant plump. You got a clip?
Yeah. Well, it was a long meeting. Yeah, we were talking about
a sharp transition. You got a clip?
Go ahead, Eric.
So that was quite the segue, you know, like getting knocked off, getting clipped.
He almost got whacked. Carson wasn't a big dude either. I mean, imagine getting tossed down the stairs like a little elf getting tossed down the stairs by some heavies.
Yep. All right. So
let's set this up, actually. The clip I think you're going to play is, a lot of times, and the Tonight Show wasn't filmed, like the Leno Show, those late night shows aren't filmed until, 4:30 in the afternoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're filmed, and they broadcast whatever, you know, hours later after all the editing and shit's done.
Right.
So a lot of times they go out and have a couple of cocktails, right?
Yeah, what do they call it? A lunch.
A little liquid lunch, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yep.
On a particular occasion, I think Ed had a couple.
All right. So for the third time,
Ed McMahon. Here we go. The fourth time.
Now, as you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world, and we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years she's been appearing with
us. 9 years.
Hmm?
About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several would be about nine.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I said, no, I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said
nine.
Yes.
Nine, good, thank you.
Yeah. Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No. I did my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe just a... Kind of back up on a little nappy poo, just might snap you out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. Okay.
But you're upsetting me.
I don't upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know you did. That's all right.
Don't say... I know her. I went down
there. Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good. All right. And let's get her out here quickly. Would you welcome Joan
Embry? Hey-o!
Hey, I was talking about days that you could cocktail on television shows.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no doubt at all. Well, not on the show, but he would, you know, in the on lunch break. Yeah, on the lunch break. But I think also, too, with the Carson Show, what was great about it is back then television allowed a lot more latitude in jokes that were much more, not only like that, but much more risque also. You know, Carson had some good examples with that. You know, looking down girls' shirts and making titty jokes and all that kind of stuff.
Did he?
If you're a fan, you probably know that. But yeah, you always have big-breasted women on.
Yeah.
All that. You know, television was different then. You won't get that same. You won't get the same television.
Well, Johnny Carson also said, Johnny Carson was like, never use a big word when a little filthy one will do.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Wait, wait, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
Very excellent.
So how does that, you guys read the Johnny Carson book. I never read the time. I used to watch him late night. So, I mean, outside, obviously we know how it ends. Obviously, Johnny Carson dies.
But what did he do, like, after he retired? I mean, I don't want to – spoiler alert, he dies, but –
Oh, he became a reckless. He became a reckless right away.
That's it.
No, Carson became a recluse after that. He never really had – he never really hung out with a lot of people to begin with. And so he had a huge – I don't know if I didn't hear Eric say what Eric said, but he was he had a huge yacht that he lived on for a long time. And
that
he
is
had,
not true.
He had some tragedy in his life. It's not
That's
true.
That's not true. No, he moved in with Elvis.
Right? Another urban myth. There's actually a couple of myths about Carson. Not myths, but urban legends. One of them was when he had Zsa Zsa Gabor on the show. Supposedly, this had never happened. There's a couple. This is the first one. But she had a cat on her lap, and she said, "Would you like to pet my pussy?" And Johnny said, "Yes, as soon as you move the cat."
That's pretty good.
The other one was he had Arnold Palmer's wife on the show, and Johnny asked if he had any good luck rituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so his wife said, yeah, she kissed his balls for good luck. Arnold Palmer's balls for good luck. And Carson replied, I bet that put his putter put a putter in his flutter, or a flutter in his putter, either way. But that's also a myth because years later, Arnold Palmer was on the Jay Leno show, and Leno asked him a question, and Palmer said, no, I don't want to hear any more about it. So there's a lot of myths about the show, too. There's a couple of them.
That's because his wife was kissing Johnny's ball.
That's right. Yeah.
You're probably right. More that story. I don't want to hear any more about that, I said.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you ever hear the story, and I know we're getting sidetracked, did you ever hear the story about Cal Ripken and Kevin Costner?
No.
Remember that story? So Cal Ripken, Kyle, you might be a sports guy. You might know this. Years ago, there was a Baltimore Orioles game that was delayed for a couple hours because it was rumored that Costner was with Ripken's wife.
Hmm.
And so Ripken got a little bit upset and had to go home and kind of straighten the whole deal out. And it was electricity and things weren't working and –
You sure he didn't just want to rip him a new asshole?
Ripken, a new asshole.
Come
very
on,
nice.
That was good.
That was
very
that was a
nice.
Good one.
I don't care who you are.
Maybe,
that was a good one.
I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, people.
I don't remember. I don't remember that thing. But I'm glad that we were talking about Johnny Carson and you brought Cal Ripken into it.
Well, we mentioned this. There was a story. Now we're going to go backtrack like a Quentin Tarantino film. In 1972, and Eric, you might remember this from the book. Kyle, I don't know if you remember this or you know this, but Joanne Carson, Carson's first wife, had a little bit of an affair with the Frank Gifford.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Yes,
Eric, do you remember this from the Bushkin book? Yeah.
Yes.
So Carson, that's where he first met Bushkin. And Carson always carried a gun. He was a good gun-toting American. And so he had Bushkin with him because he needed an attorney. That's right. And so he needed an attorney with him to go check out the apartment that he had for Joanna that she needed for whatever the fuck reason she needed it. And they go in the apartment and they get past the security. And Bushkin can't believe that Carson has a gun. He's got this gun. And he's like, what do you have to, you know? And so they get in the apartment, and they see pictures of Gifford on the wall. Some of his clothes are hanging up in the closet.
Hmm.
And that was all Carson needed to know. But he broke down. He broke down in tears with Bushkin. He knew when the truth had happened, what had happened. And after the divorce, which is Carson is known for this. He's a very cold person in the sense that he'll break off a friendship or relationship if something happens. Like I think most people should. If something happened, you know, detrimental to your life with that person, but he didn't speak to Joanne for 18 years after that, you know, after the divorce. But yeah, she was banging the Frank Gifford. And wasn't Frank Gifford the dude that was, didn't he cheat on his wife with a hooker in the hotel that time?
Yeah, that was a setup.
He just likes to show everybody his little giant.
That was a setup. Good excuse.
It was a total setup.
Wanted to show everybody his little giant.
Yeah.
I said he just wanted to show everybody his little giant.
Bum.
Hey, we have 10 minutes to go. I would like to, hey, dude, can we roll the clip with My favorite two performers ever in my lifetime, I think they would have been beyond gold, Jonathan Winters and Robin Williams. They were both on The Tonight Show at one time.
Yeah, do you want to tell another Cal Ripken story before we play it?
No, Cal Ripken's next week. Cal Ripken's next week.
Well, we'll do a lead-in. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, here we go. Winters and Williams. Here we go.
Winters and Williams, my favorite ever duo.
When you were doing Mork and Mindy, how long ago? Was that 10 or 12 years?
About 10.
And Jonathan came on and did how many episodes with you?
Oh, it was about 20 of them.
Some of the funniest episodes ever on television.
We used to run out of film. It was like kind of like those war movies where the machine gun goes.
There's no ammo! Yeah, he's been a friend of yours, friend of mine for many years.
We would scare people. It was one.
He's on his own show called Davis Rules with Randy Quaid, which is on the air later this fall. Would you welcome Mr. Jonathan Winters?
Thank you.
Josh Winters is great.
We lost the fort. The Indians were sober. We were drunk this time. Well, great to be here.
Nice to see you, my God.
Nice to be here.
How goes the battle?
Well, pretty good so far. Made it across into Van Nuys. That one shoulder took us out. Gosh, I was so taken with this guy. I was when I first met him, and on Mork and Mindy, we did. We had a marvelous
time. Those were good days.
You had access to more medication in those days.
Yeah, some of the shows were real quick.
I noticed the stuff wore off tonight.
Colombian college fund. Yeah. Mr. Williams didn't know you in the days when you and I
were. Oh, when we were on the sauce.
Yeah, when we were having a little.
Well, yeah, Johnny and I.
On the sauce.
Can we have those on block for you?
I'm sorry.
Could we have those sent out and clean for you?
It was easy getting them on. And now, here, you want to play with those?
Oh, yeah. This way I won't have so much guilt.
That's a great line. And by the way, if I could, that's a fucking visual. But Jonathan Winters is dressed like a Civil War soldier, right, Kyle?
Yeah. And he's so this like was when can I say something real quick? See, Chris, when I asked you to do the intro to the clip, this is when that would have probably been nice. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's dressed like a Civil War soldier. He's got the buttons up, and he's got like white gloves on and all stuff. So let's play it again.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's play it again.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So, and so he takes the gloves off, and then and he gives him to Ron Williams, and he's like, "Oh, now I won't feel guilty." That's good stuff. Those two were to me that was one of the best pairs ever in comedy business.
Billy Bat and Winters and Williams.
Winters and Williams.
That's the only thing they did together was Mork and Mindy, correct? Velvet and Costello.
Carson even said that was the funniest shit on television. They had 20 episodes, and I remember seeing that as a kid. And I was just like, I couldn't believe what I was just couldn't stop laughing. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. And so when Robin Williams passed away, I think I mentioned to you, I was like, that was like, those are my highlights. Those are my memories. Winters and Williams on Mork and Mindy. The best shit ever.
I bet you one of the best pairs I ever saw on TV was Pam Anderson. Say that again. I said, one of the best pair I've ever seen on television is Pam Anderson.
Here's a funny story. I'm going to go sidetrack to Pam Anderson, but here's a story about Pam Anderson when David, and she was trying out for Baywatch and David Hasselhoff. You know, that was his show. And so Pam Anderson's like, oh, it'd be a lifeguard and this back. He's like, hires her. And so she tells David Hasselhoff, she's like, well, you want me to be a lifeguard? But she's like, I don't even know how to swim. And David Hasselhoff says, that's okay. I don't know how to act.
There you go.
And he still doesn't.
Yeah.
That's right.
How it goes.
Yeah. For a guy who has no talent, he's pretty successful.
Which is actually excellent. I think you, Kyle, I think you mentioned earlier about what did Carson do after he retired? You know, he was a recluse. But what he continued to do was kept an eye on mainstream media, and he kept in touch with his boy David Letterman, and he would send him jokes every once in a while for the Letterman show.
Well, that's cool.
And on occasion, Letterman would use his jokes, right? Because he has own writers and everything. So on occasion, and that couldn't have given Carson any more delight You know, the jokes were still being used on television, and he could he kept away from the public eye, especially with Letterman. I'm just a Letterman fan. But you said Letterman's ending when?
Next year. Or this year, like in September or October or something like that.
Oh, man.
Not soon.
See, I'm a... Go ahead, Eric.
I said not soon enough. He's overstated.
See, yeah, he's a... He has Mike Letterman.
Yeah.
Oh. See, but Chris doesn't like Fallon, Eric. I like Jimmy Fallon.
Well, that's bizarre, because at least Jimmy Fallon's not mean.
Like...
David Letterman's just a mean man.
Yeah! This be me. Cut him down.
Well, actually, I think Jimmy Fallon going to the Tonight Show, I think that's when David Letterman's like, you know, he's good. He's the new generation. You know, I think it's time for me to go. So I think that's how I saw it with David Letterman.
Somebody said the other day, they said, you know, Jimmy Fallon's great and Jimmy Kimmel's good, but Jimmy Kimmel makes better internet than he does television.
Yeah, I could see that. He had more of the internet humor. Well, like our show, he pulls a lot of his shit from the web.
Yeah,
we have the same production value as Jimmy Kimmel. We have that in common.
Yeah, I would say our show is definitely made for podcasting.
Well, that's good. that works out well.
Yeah.
That's a solid.
So,
that's
a good thing.
I was surprised, though. I mean, it just surprised me as Johnny Carson being such a public figure for 30 years, and then just for him to disappear like that, it's kind of interesting to me.
Well, no, he never was. He never was a real public guy. He didn't really like going to public events, and his wives would set him up. He didn't really like. At one point in time, he hosted the Oscars for a few years, which he was a great host for the Oscars for many, many years. And the Oscars is just a shit show anyway. But, you know, Carson made it at least worth watching the monologue for, right? And so after that, I mean, after the show ended in 92, his only ambition really was the Tonight Show. That was really his only ambition to do the show.
But,
and so once, you know.
I see, but I think people who, like, you know, I'm not going to get into what I used to do, but I was always, every time I went to work, around a ton of people all the time. And I mean a ton. I mean thousands of people. So when I wasn't at work, I couldn't wait to get away from people. I still today would rather go to movies on a Tuesday afternoon at 1 than go on a Saturday night on opening night to see something. I'd rather go to a restaurant that was half full than the newest restaurant where I had to wait in line.
Exactly. Yep. But some
people
like being around a lot of people. I'm not one of those people. What are you going to say, Kyle?
No, I got nothing.
Some people like people, and I'm not one of those people.
Yep.
I'm not one of those cool like people. So,
yep.
And Carson,
like
he just
like
became a recluse. And... exactly. But I kind of like, I mean, that whole era, which is. I'll roll out with this. The whole era with Carson, you know, Bob Hope, Frank Sinatra, Jack Benny, all those greats, you know, they just drank and caroused and had a good time. It was a whole different time back then. And so I'm glad that I was able to see Carson through that time period and enjoy his show. And happy 10th anniversary, Johnny Carson.
Yeah, Johnny Carson, rest in peace. Yeah, I used to go to the public libraries and put the records on and listen to the Johnny Carson show.
Put the needle on the record. So check out American Masters, Johnny Carson. Read the Henry Bushkin book, Johnny Carson, and learn all about the man as much as you can. The dude's a legend. You'll never see anyone like him again.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Good night.
And we'll talk to
you all
next
week.
That's right. Here you go. Close two.
Cha-cha.
Thanks for checking out the Kick My Brother podcast with Chris and Kyle. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Kick My Brother for past episodes and all that's going on. See you next week.